views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking today from cloudy Seattle. You may be listening here in the Seattle area. You might be listening somewhere in Rhode Island, Connecticut, or New York. Somewhere across the United States on cable radio network or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be so glad you joined us because we're going to be talking about music in a very different way. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, good morning and good day, Christine. I will say, though, you were very correct and true about it being cloudy, but those are snow clouds.
Yes. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
What do you mean, we'll see?
There's snow in the mountains. Yes,
but that's what you're looking at.
I
right
know,
there.
But we need snow down here. We really do.
You really want to drive in it?
No, I do. Do you?
I love it. I'm from Alaska. I miss that stuff.
Yeah, and I also need to train my 15-year-old how to drive in it because he's got his permit.
Those are the fun times, though. Just go to a big parking lot.
Yeah.
Or whoever's parking lot it is, tell them you're going to be practicing some maneuvering. And you might be able to have some fun, too.
Yes, indeed. But we'll see. We'll see. I saw some snowflakes in the forecast for a while there, and then they disappeared. Yeah.
Merry Christmas to you, by the way.
Merry Christmas.
Because I know this coming week we're going to be a little bit all over the place with a little encore action and stuff like that. But to you and your family.
Thank you. To you and your boys as well.
Thanks.
It's a great time of year. It's a crazy time of year, but it's actually really beautiful. And I love the focus on connection and family and love and, the teachings of somebody who had a lot of wisdom to share with the world.
That's very true.
Yes.
Is Santa on the list for, or is the are the furry friends of yours on the naughty or nice list with Santa?
They're a little of both. But,
okay.
I'm not sure what the equivalent of coal is for kittens.
No catnip.
No.
That's basically it.
Okay.
Zero for them then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be still nice to them.
Santa will come. I'm sure.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes. And speaking of Santa, I just wanted to mention to everybody that on my website, I've got a holiday article that was published in a couple of different places over the last decade. It's called The Letter to Santa. It's on ChristineUpchurch.com if you want to read about something that the five-year-old in me learned, some that was very, very, very helpful for me as an adult. Okay, now, without further ado, I want to talk about our topic today. We think of music as something that gets us in a particular mood. It's fun for dancing. It might help us feel happier if we're feeling a little down, or it might help move the energy of sadness out. Music is wonderful. I am not used to thinking of music as something really spiritual. I mean, spiritual to the level of causing or somehow encouraging these multidimensional experiences, including visions and messages from loved ones who have passed over. But my guest today seems to be able to facilitate just that with his music and his workshops. Today we're talking about soul activation and ascension through music, and we're going to be talking to David Young. He has been nominated for Grammys twice. He's what's called a transformational musician. I love that. He's recorded, get this, 57 albums, sold over 1 million copies of CDs and MP3s. He's written 3 books. Oh, my goodness, he's so busy. And he plays, Benny, you got to hear this, not one Renaissance flute, but two. Not like one after the other. Two at once. You've got to see videos of it. It's absolutely
talented
exceptional.
Talented man.
Yes.
Talented man.
And his music is used daily by over 10,000 wellness centers, hospitals, and healers of all modalities. And, you know, one person said, David Young's music is the best for relaxing the people I work with. And I know that there are a lot of people who agree with that. And over the past year, this is something that's really interesting that I'm just dying to talk to David about. He's presented 115 soul activation events all across the country, and he utilizes the soothing music of his flutes. He leads people through inspirational guided meditations, and his participants have amazing, I mean, extraordinary life-altering experiences, including visions and encounters with ascended masters, archangels, and apparently the energy around this is shifting, so we're going to be talking to him about that. I am just so excited to be welcoming David Young. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, David.
Well, thank you so much. Nice to be here.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I work in the healing realm, and I do believe the things that I work with are more like the energy around light. And so I intuitively knew that there's stuff that's like can activate transformation that relates to sound, but I'm a newbie to this, so I'm really fascinated. You know, some people would call your story of getting to this place in your life when you're sharing this gift as sort of a rags to riches story, because you do have an amazing story about, you know, being down on your luck and shifting that dramatically. But I view it as somebody who's truly shown up to share his gift with the world. What motivated you to bring this to the world, David?
Well, I never could have dreamed that all this stuff was going to happen. When I ran out of money in 1990, playing the flute at Venice Beach, I made an album called Celestial Winds, and I had a partner who played the harp, and, you know, I was doing this on Saturday and Sunday because I was out of money. And I was a rock musician, and I was doing this just really to support myself, which was quite a surprise in the beginning anyway. Mm-hmm. One thing led to another. After 2.5 years, we had sold 10,000 tapes, and then we made an album, some like CDs, and we released that to radio. After 2 years, we sold 100,000 units.
Wow. I do remember Celestial Winds, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who really loved it. It was flute and a harp. And we had a Christmas album called Christmas Morning that went to number 2 in Canada in 1993. And so then we split up, and then I started making my own albums. And so now I have 57 albums altogether, including those first three. And so a couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Divine Inner Guidance about the incredible things that happen when you listen to your intuition, as well as the incredible things that happen when you don't listen to your intuition, you know, because they're both incredible.
Right,
one
they are.
One's not enjoyable, you know. And so I was doing these events, promoting my book, telling stories from my book. And after telling about a half hour of the most incredible synchronistic stories you could ever hear, I decided to take a break from the storytelling, and I told people, you know, you can close your eyes now, and we're going to meditate. I like to call it journeying, because sometimes when people think about meditation, it sounds serious.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people might have felt like they failed at meditation because, you know, nothing happened in the first 2 minutes, so they thought it doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
But, and that was a joke, all right? I'll tell you, next time I tell you a joke, I'll tell you it's coming so you guys can get ready. Okay. And so I would start these journeying sessions where I would just play the flute with as much spiritual energy as I could, as spaced out as possible, and I would play for 20 or 30 minutes, and when that was over, I would give people a chance to share their experiences.
Right.
And every single night that happened, at least 5 people shared reconnecting with their grandmother or their great-grandfather or their favorite childhood friend who's now crossed over into the heavenly world.
Right.
One of their relatives, and honestly, I didn't know that was possible. I'd never heard of that before. And so it just continued. It never stopped once I started doing those meditation journeys. And then after about a year of that, I was doing this event that didn't have storytelling because they wanted only to have meditation music.
Uh-huh.
And so after the first meditation that I did, three people in the room saw Jesus standing in the same spot in the room.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it, you know. And I grew up in a Jewish family, so I was thinking, well, does this really make sense?
Right,
you know,
right. What's he doing at your workshop?
Exactly, exactly. You know, because, you know, he didn't sign up. He didn't get a ticket or anything.
Right.
And I guess if somebody were signed up with the name Jesus without a last name, that could have tipped me off, you know.
Uh-huh.
So at that time, I was talking with a very famous channeler named Robert Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And he was helping me understand a lot of these things because even though I had been meditating for 30 years at that point, I'd never had an experience where, you know, these otherworldly things were opening up.
Right.
And so I knew he could channel for me and connect me with different people who were already on the heavenly side, you know, the other side here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, can you connect me with Jesus? And I felt even strange even asking that, but he said, well, I can try.
Uh-huh.
So after about, you know, about a minute of him doing whatever he was doing on the other side of the phone, because he was in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and I was in the United States.
Right.
He said, okay, I got a hold of him. Well, what do you want to ask him? And I said, well, this is kind of odd for me to be talking to you because I grew up Jewish, and I don't even know how to wrap my mind around the fact that, you know, we're having this conversation because I was born Jewish. And he said, well, I can understand how that feels because I was born Jewish also.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this guy's funny, you know, because uh-huh. that's kind of funny. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
So I said, you know, I didn't see your Facebook profile. I don't know what your favorite TV shows are or anything like what you see on somebody's Facebook profile. You
right.
know, I said, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, what you like, what you don't like? Because, you know, that's a way for us to start this conversation. You
uh-huh.
know? And he said, well, I don't like rituals. He said, when people have rituals in their life, it gets so monotonous and so not from the heart.
Right.
And they don't say it with love, that a ritual actually becomes, you know, a block in between a person and the spiritual experiences that they want to have.
Uh-huh.
They don't get anybody any closer to God by doing these rituals.
Right.
And the first thing I thought of was, you know, Catholic Church, but then after a while I was thinking, wow, all religions have different rituals
uh-huh.
that are like that. So that was the first thing he said. The second thing he said was, I don't like pedestals. I don't like when people put others up on pedestals.
Yeah.
Because the only thing they get is a stiff neck. And, you know, now it's been funny two times.
Right, right.
Okay. And then the third thing he said was really a shocker. He said, I did not create Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a few weeks after this, I was talking with a friend of mine, and she had read a book that was supposedly channeled through Jesus to this woman who was the writer of the book.
Uh-huh.
And those exact words were in the book.
Wow. Oh, that's really cool. We have to go to a quick break, but more with David Young when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That powerful music is by David Young, and he is my guest here today. David, before the break, you were talking about how participants in one of your workshops saw Jesus standing in the same place, and you ended up connecting with Jesus and got some amusing but very insightful, profound messages. Have there been other ascended masters of any sort who have also shown up, or is it just Jesus?
Oh, absolutely. It's an adventure every night I do these events. As of this point, there have been 855 people at my events who have had experiences with either Buddha, Lao Tzu, Kuan Yin, Gandhi, Mother Mary, not necessarily in that order, but those are the ones who people experience the most.
Wow.
Just recently people have started experiencing Gandhi. Uh-huh. Oh, I said Gandhi. Martin Luther King and King Solomon.
Ah.
It's just incredible. Martin Luther King showed up to somebody in Syracuse, New York on a Friday, and he told this woman that there was some work for her to do with him in a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
She shared that in the workshop. That was a Friday night. On Monday morning, she went into work, and her boss called her into his office and said that, "I want you to take over being in charge of the Martin Luther King Fund."
Wow. That's amazing. Oh, I love that kind of validation.
Oh, man, we live in a world of validation. At least I do. Anybody who comes to my workshops, they get to hear it. And, you know, the music is one, it's obviously a big part of it, uh-huh. but the fun really starts, well, in a way, the fun really starts when people start sharing, because a lot of times there are people in the room who have similar experiences as other people in the room.
Uh-huh.
And the excitement, you know, just imagine you're meditating for a half hour and you're having this experience inside yourself.
Right.
And, like, it's like some spiritual journey adventure into the cosmos with one of the ascended teachers or somebody, you know, one of the archangels.
Mm-hmm.
And from your perspective, because your eyes are closed and you're so focused inwardly, it seems like you're the only person having that experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
but,
right.
You know, when other people in the room, like sometimes three or five people in the room, have the same exact experience as you, and
yeah.
you're like, oh my God, how is that possible? And the excitement that happens in the audience when people start sharing,
right.
it's just incredible. There was an event that I did in Boston last month, and this woman started explaining that Kuan Yin, who's mm-hmm. like the Asian Mother Mary, it's like the divine feminine that
right.
is recognized in the Asian culture.
Uh-huh.
She came to this woman, and she was just surrounded with this golden light. And she poured her tea out of this teapot, but instead of a fluid come out, this golden light came out of the teapot into her glass, into her little cup.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Well, while she was explaining that, you should have heard the two other people in the room who had the exact same experience. Now, I didn't say anything about Kuan Yin or a teacup or uh-huh. golden light or anything like that. And the fact that the three of them shared the same experience, it was, I mean, it just lifted the whole group into a level of, wow, what is reality? What is not reality?
Yes.
Whatever this is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
And why now? I mean, why do you think, David, that these sorts of things are occurring at this stage in our evolution on the planet?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, there are more people involved in raising their spiritual vibration now mm-hmm. than there's ever been in the history of mankind, ever. Okay? I mean, in America, there's over 20 million Americans doing yoga at least twice a week, and every yoga session starts with meditation, and every yoga session ends with meditation.
Uh-huh.
So the yogis alone are 20 million people.
Wow.
There's got to be at least 30 million more Americans who don't do yoga. And so for a long time, people were so hesitant to share their spiritual experiences because, you know, 20, 40 years ago, it just wasn't out there
mm-hmm.
like it is now. And so now, because when people come to these events, they get this, it's a safe place for them to share their experiences, you know, and I really
right.
encourage them to share their experiences because that is speaking your truth.
Uh-huh.
And when you speak your truth, all of a sudden you get empowered.
That's right.
And the other reason is because, you know, 2012 with the end of the Mayan calendar, you know, the world didn't end. I don't know if you got the memo, but it didn't end in 2012, you know?
I kind of noticed, David, yes.
Yeah, I checked on Google this morning and I confirmed it, you know. It did end in 2012. But what did end, it marked the end of a couple thousand year period where the religious organizations of the world had such control and fear over people that people were afraid to talk about their spiritual experiences in public.
Yes.
I mean, there was a lot of things that you really couldn't do in public. I mean, you couldn't say that the world was round in public for at least 100 years.
That's
because,
right. You could get put away in jail or a mental institution, yes.
Right. And so now that we're in this state of consciousness of this world ascension, the way this thing all connects, and I know, you know, from a conversation that you and I had before, Christine, but if you look back in history, one of the first people in history who really made his mark on mankind that mankind has never forgotten is a guy by the name of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, three of the world's religions are all based originally on the teachings of Moses.
Uh-huh.
That is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. the one thing that those three religions agree upon. But when all those miracles happened back in ancient Egypt, Moses wrote five books. Okay, one of the books was removed from the Bible because in that book he was sharing that he had a spiritual guide whose name was Enoch. And that's who was guiding him and helping him with all the magic to free the people from Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when Enoch ascended, he became the first human to ascend to the level of the archangel consciousness.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael. And the reason why they end with E-L on the end is because those four archangels did not have earthly lives. They always were in heaven.
Okay.
Enoch ascended to the level of an archangel and changed his name to Metatron.
So Metatron, I didn't realize that Enoch and Metatron were the same.
They're the same, yeah.
Oh, that gives me chills. That gives me
chills.
Yeah,
he got a promotion, so they gave him a new name. I'm just kidding. I don't mean to be disrespectful at all, you know. And so what happened is because Metatron was the first human to ascend to the consciousness of an archangel, he has been a driving force in the ascension that's been happening in the world over the last, let's say, 7,000-8,000 years.
Uh-huh.
And so this whole ascendance process that's happening, that all, you know, coincided with the end of the Mayan calendar and everything, it's all there's so much energy that's happening that's coming from Metatron, and it's his energy. You know, for any of you listeners out there who have ever had an experience with one of the archangels, and you got to know that they're not connected to any one religion.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually, the archangels are connected to every religion, because if you go back in time and you see the way a person like Jesus or Buddha or whoever you're going to name, when we as humans, like you or I, or whoever's listening out there, when we start taking our spiritual life seriously, well, as we climb that spiritual ladder, the archangels recognize this.
Mm-hmm.
And they start working with us and helping us.
Yes.
And when we take it to a higher level of wanting to share that spirituality with other people, then their power and energy starts flowing through that person. And that's part of the reason why the different ascended masters had the power that they had, because they were being supported by the archangels.
Yes,
and it didn't matter what country you were from, or what uh-huh. language you spoke, or what color your skin was.
Right.
The only thing that mattered is that that person, like Jesus or Buddha or Kuan Yin, whoever, you know, was being supported because they were doing the good stuff that was helping make the world a better place.
Right. And it's so fascinating that we're beginning to interact with them more and more, including in your workshops. When we return, I'm going to want to hear more from you, David, about people's experiences. And I'm going to share with listeners my own personal experience with Metatron and Michael. More with David Young when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com. What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'll tell you, my guest today is David Young, and that's some of his music. And every time I just sort of tune in as we do the bumper coming back into the show, Benny, my crown chakra starts to go nuts. I can feel it resonating all the way down to my solar plexus. It's amazing music. David, you know, we were talking about archangels and ascended masters and how these beings are showing up at your events, and people are like validating for each other that they had the same kind of experience. I wanted to share with listeners about my own interaction with Metatron and Michael, because once upon a time I wasn't sure if I even believed in archangels, and I had taught a healing seminar, I think it was actually here in Seattle. And oh gosh, there were quite a few attendees, and there was one woman who, after coming to this healing seminar, she started to channel, and eventually she said she was channeling Archangels Michael and Gabriel. Well, Archangel Michael apparently had a message for me and one of my colleagues, and it was basically this impetus to help us to come together to bring through this new kind of energetic activation in a person's vibrational structure. And it started coming through on January 11th of 2011, 1-11-11. That's why we gave it the name, the 1-11 activation. But anyway, I still wasn't sure if I believed in archangels. And then all of a sudden I began to understand when Archangel Michael was around, this loving, loving energy. And Metatron, it was like this pure mathematical, organized being with a very strong purpose. So, you know, I'm a firm believer, and I think it's so great that your music is helping to have people have this experience where they're interacting with these ascended masters and the archangels. So,
well, I want to say something. You know, everybody goes through a process of learning to trust, because we were taught that being sensible is intelligent. Mm-hmm. That's not being intelligent. That's just living inside the box.
Right.
Nobody accomplished anything great by living inside the box.
Oh, you're so
Albert
true.
Einstein,
right.
You know, he came up with all this great stuff, and he got there, he said, through his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's an interesting thing, because every person who's ever had a near-death experience or out-of-body travel, they all describe it the exact same way, that, you know, they saw this tunnel and this light, they went through it, and when they were in the inner worlds, in the heavenly world, whatever they thought manifested instantly.
Mm-hmm.
They thought about their grandmother, boom, their grandmother manifested instantly.
Right.
They thought about Jesus or Buddha, and they manifested it instantly. They don't have time in heaven. And it's just in the last couple of weeks where I've really been starting to understand how this works, because Bob Murray had been talking to me about it for a couple of years.
Hold on, David. We're having a connection issue here. Couldn't hear that.
Yeah, moving
that
around
lessons.
A little bit? Just, yeah.
No, I didn't move at all.
Hmm. All right.
Okay.
Did that?
Oh, dear.
It's all right.
Okay, let's try that again. Can you back up just a couple of sentences, please, David?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was talking about how in heaven there is no time.
Uh-huh.
And all the people who have near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, they all describe it the same way, that when they were in that higher state of consciousness, there was anything that they thought of manifested instantly, whether that was thinking about a grandmother or a friend, whoever, it manifests instantly. And the way that works is because there's no time in heaven, I'll compare it to like Earth time. So let's say that, for example, you're sitting at your desk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you want to go get a drink. Well, first you have the thought, then you stand up, then you walk over to the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you go get a drink out of the refrigerator, okay, you've got your drink. Where when you're in heaven, when you have the thought, I want to have a drink, there's no walking, there's no getting up, there's no, it's just, I want to have a drink. Instantly, you're at the refrigerator and the drink is in your hand.
Uh-huh.
That's how it works. And there's a movie that's called Made in Heaven that had Timothy Hutton and Kelly McGillis. And
right.
It's about some guy who dies and he goes to heaven. And the way they showed it in that movie, that's the way it really is.
Hmm. So, David, you're talking about heaven. Let me ask you this. Is there a hell?
We're living it. There's a lot of beautiful things out here on planet Earth. There's no doubt.
Right.
But, you know, you don't have to worry about any place lower than this, because this is the bottom.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And, you know, we can find heaven on Earth, but it's often not an easy task, and we have a lot of struggle and pain involved sometimes trying to experience that.
Absolutely, but you know, as long as you bring up the name Heaven and Earth, that's the name of my production company, Heaven on Earth Production.
Oh, I love that.
And we're starting to do, we just started a few days ago, we started live streaming of my events, so this way people all over the world can experience the energy and the whole conversations and the sharing that happens at my event.
That's really exciting, because, you know, if you're not, I know you did like 130 some odd events this year where you actually went to various places, but this means that people can have this experience while sitting in their homes.
Absolutely. If you go onto my website, which is davidyoungmusic.com, you'll be able to see some information about it. And also, if you go onto my Facebook page for David Young, you can find out when the next streaming is. And it's awesome is every week there will be 4 weekday streaming events.
Uh-huh.
That'll be 1 hour, which is basically a half hour of me playing and then a half hour of me talking.
Right.
So if you're getting up in the morning and you want to meditate, instead of meditating by yourself, you can meditate with this live performance of me playing with other people meditating to the same music around the world.
Uh-huh.
And then after the music is over, you could, you know, go to jump in the shower, go to work, and the people who have time afterwards who want to be part of the conversation, because people can write their experiences in on Facebook and I can read them on, you know, live through the streaming. And so there'll be 4 weekday events that every week, and those will be 1 hour, and there will be 2 weekend events that'll be 2 hours
mm-hmm.
each month. And you can get one event for $21, or you can get a month of unlimited, you know, meditation events with us for $40.
That's great.
And so it's a beautiful way that people can tap into this energy and really connect. And you know, it's going to be fun when there are people in Africa who are having the same experiences as people in China and people in America.
Yes. And we'll also put a link on our website as well, next to the MP3 of the interview today.
Yeah. I would say that in the next couple of days, we'll be able to get you that link, because this is all very new.
Okay.
And actually, if all goes well, in about an hour or so, we're going to be doing a little test just to, we have a new system, so we're going to be testing that. And yeah, it's really exciting.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what could be more exciting than people around the world meditating together and not realizing that there were other people having the same experiences as them with the ascended masters, you know, and the archangels?
Yes.
What could be better?
And also just the very experience of coming together, and just being open to whatever experience, actually, I think will help shift the world. Because if we come there and meditate and open to the beauty of what is, I believe that that helps to sort of grease the wheels of positive change.
Absolutely, because it's becoming more and more accepted to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, you'd never talk about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, but now with the TV shows like the Long Island Medium,
uh-huh,
and the popularity of the psychic mediums, I mean, they're the biggest rock stars in the world
now. They're huge. They're huge. Yes. And it's really exciting that we don't necessarily need to go have a session with one of these psychic mediums to connect with the other side, so to speak, or to be able to connect through that veil to the grander reality that includes loved ones who've passed over and ascended masters and archangels. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. A lot of people come to my events who've never, not only have they never channeled professionally, but they've never had a channeling experience. Like my friend Mark, he had never meditated in this life, and he came to an event, and during the first meditation, you know, his eyes were closed. He was journeying into the inner realm, and his dad showed up, and he hadn't seen his dad in 35 years.
Wow.
And he said, "Dad, what are you doing here?" And his dad said, "I've always been here."
Aww.
And he said, "Dad, how does it feel to see what's going on in our family with all the, you know, the divorces and the problems and the dramas everybody's having?"
Uh-huh.
And his dad said, "It's just like looking in the mirror."
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the incredible thing, if that's not incredible enough, is that since Mark came to his first event, which was about 9 months ago, he's been able to reconnect and have more conversations with his dad that he never had before. And so now his dad and him have like a better line of communication between heaven and earth.
Uh-huh.
And his dad has connected Mark to his mom, who's also on the other side,
right,
and to his favorite brother. And so now he's living a life like a medium would live, where he's got that company and the love and the connection that he never had before.
That's wonderful. We have to go to another quick break, but more with David Young and his wonderful music and wisdom when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here in KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm talking with David Young, and his website is davidyoungmusic.com. And David, you know, before we get into some of the other fascinating topics, and I know this hour has flown by, we've only got a few more minutes, but before we go any further, I have to ask you, whatever motivated you to play two Renaissance flutes simultaneously?
Yeah, I get asked that all the time. I've answered that so many times I could literally take a break and walk around the office and my mind would just tell the whole story, you know.
Okay.
It was 1990. I was playing at Venice Beach with Lisa. She played the harp in the beginning. We only knew six songs together, so we would play those same six songs about 30 or 40 times a day. And,
wow.
In case you didn't know, that's called torture for a musician.
Yes.
And usually in the afternoon after I played those songs at least 25 times, I was bored out of my mind. I would try to play two flutes at one time.
Uh-huh.
Now, I started off very simply, but the unique thing about the story was that whenever people would walk by and see us playing, they would say, oh, look at that woman and that beautiful harp, and I'd be like the invisible man.
Right, right.
But every time I picked up the second flute and played two flutes at one time, they said, oh, look, there's a guy playing two flutes at one time, and then she was invisible. And honestly, that's the only reason why I did it, was because it really... I mean, I'm telling you.
I love your honesty. I love that, David.
You know, I was the middle child. You know, I was always getting the attention. I was in rock bands. I was the guy in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And here I am, you know, playing the flute next to this woman playing the harp, and I can't get any attention. So that's why I continued to do it. And, you know, I had no idea that something so wonderful would happen because, you know, whenever you think of any great musician, whether it's the Beatles or Jimi Hendrix, you know, there's always a visual attached. It's more than just music, because music is in the category of entertainment.
Right.
And, you know, playing the two flutes gave something visually that was unforgettable for people.
Right.
Number one.
And it sounds beautiful,
also,
too.
Oh, yeah. It creates the two sounds, the two notes create a harmony, but it creates a third tone. It's called a triharmonic tone, where... those two notes create a third note that's a little bit liminal. It's not subliminal. You can hear it a little bit, uh-huh. but that buzz that happens when I play the two flutes at one time, that goes inside people's minds and hearts and chakras and, you know, opens them up. And that is like a little extra oomph to help people get out of their body and have these spiritual experiences mm-hmm. because, you know, God's energy is vibration uh-huh. and music is vibration.
Right. So tell me a little bit about this chakra explosion with divine transformation, that song that, you know, is played in yeah. the background.
Well, my good friend Melanie Camp, she's a painter, and she made, you know, this gigantic painting called Chakra Explosion, and the entire time that she made that painting, I think it was like 3 weeks, but every single minute she listened to this one song that I have on my CD that's called Solace. Uh-huh. And the song is called The Divine Transformation. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good song for the Transformation Network, don't you think?
Oh, it sounds like it. Must be.
And so she made a video of, you know, looking in slow motion at different parts of the of her paintings. Uh-huh. You know, because there were three paintings that were all together as one big thing. And so it's a really cool thing to watch. I mean, you don't get to see me playing the two flutes at once, but you get to hear that powerful music called The Divine Transformation.
Mm-hmm. And if you do want to see David playing two flutes at once, go to his website, davidyoungmusic.com. It's just absolutely fascinating to see.
You know what else?
What's
there's
that?
There's a video on YouTube of me playing a song from the album called Bliss, B-L-I-S-S. Uh-huh. So if you do a search on YouTube for David Young Bliss, uh-huh. that's a really nice video with some of the ballet dancers from UCLA who did a performance with
So, you know, David, you talk about these amazing experiences that people have with your music. And I know that Mother Mary has shown up. Is there some significance to that for you?
Well, that was another thing that was really odd for me because, you know, I grew up in a Jewish family mm-hmm. and so, you know, when you grow up in a Jewish house, I mean, you don't say Jesus' name in your house, and, you know, you wouldn't talk about Mother Mary in your house either. Mm-hmm. That's just the way, you know, different religions are. But I can tell you something really awesome happened last week.
What's that?
Where I was doing this special event with a medium named Anna Raimundi, and it was a special tribute to Mother Mary. And so the night before the event, I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. And as I was laying in my bed, uh-huh. I smelled this fragrance of a rose. And, you know, everybody was asleep in the house.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wow, where is that smell coming from, right?
Uh-huh.
And I walked to the bathroom, and that smell was, like, right next to my face. I came back to the bed. It still was there with me. It was really a very curious situation, you know. Well, the following night, I was doing this event with Anna Raimundi, and it was this tribute to Mother Mary. And when I got there and I was setting up, she brought, you know, some things about Mother Mary, and she also brought these roses. And I said, "Why did you bring these roses?"
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Because when Mother Mary appears to somebody, she brings the fragrance of a rose."
Oh, wow. Oh, isn't that a great validation?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I didn't know that, but yeah, she's appeared to so many people. You know, in the United States, of the 855 people who have had experiences with the ascended teachers, you know, like Jesus, Mary, uh-huh. Buddha, and all of them, or you could just call them the heavenly team if you prefer, you know, I'd have to say that probably two-thirds of those people had experiences with Jesus and Mary.
Uh-huh.
I can only assume that that's because in our culture here in the United States that Christianity is more popular than Buddhism. I mean, there have been a ton of people who have experienced Buddha and Lao Tzu and some of the different Asian masters and, you know,
right.
Kuan Yin also.
Yeah, yeah. Well, David, unfortunately, the time is pretty much up. This hour has flown by. I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. And can you share with our listeners again your website so they can get in, they can get your music. They can do that free download. You've got a CD that's free. It's wonderful. And also learn more about the streaming.
Sure. Yeah, it's davidyoungmusic.com. And if you're looking for meditation music, there's a category that says meditation.
Wonderful.
So
Wonderful.
That's a clue.
Thank you, David. And thank you all for joining us here today. For those of you who celebrate Christmas, I wish you a Merry Christmas. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.